I'm doing that again. Excuse me. Technical difficulty. I'll straighten that out. We'll be good. Oops. Wow, fruit of the Holy Spirit is patience. You all got an A+ right there. Thank you. On the front of your bulletin, kind of the message for this morning is you are the light of God. You are the light of Christ. And God encourages us to walk as children of light. And I say this pretty much every time I preach, but here it is. If God encourages or instructs you to do anything, and you hear and you know that it's God, He will always empower you by the Holy Spirit who lives in you. He will always empower you to do the thing that He's talking to you about or that He's asking you to do. That's the reality of what grace is. We have such a messed up thinking of grace, it should scare us. Of course, we want it to scare us into God's Word to see what grace really is. And if we'll do that, we will see that when God asks us to do something, He will always give us the power we need to do it with. And that's whether we prayed enough, whether we acted holy or not, whether we did anything right. If God says, I want you to, or I want you to quit, when you hear Him, He hands you the grace to do it with. So I want us to be aware that, well, like I say, if you get anything, get that. The message today is, if you're aware of it, and you know, I tell people as a church, we are into God's holidays and God's Jewish calendar because there are some things on there that are there to help us connect with God, even as Christians. Now, there's a movement that would try to get us religious about that. Well, we have to this or we have to that. No, that's not true. God wants us and God does things to help us stay connected with Him. And the elaborate detail that He goes through to keep us connected with Him should make it easy for every one of us to stay hooked up with God. Well, the Hebrew calendar in many ways is synced with our Christian calendar, if you will, and there are things that are on both of them, all designed by God to help us know what He's doing so we can be in sync with it. That makes it easier to hear His voice. That makes it easier to receive that grace. Remember, that's power freely given to do His will with. And He just sets it up with calendars and different things to help us. So on God's calendar, Hanukkah goes from December 2nd, starts today, ends on December 10th. Over that holiday, they light the first candle tonight in the evening, and they will light a candle each day. The message of Hanukkah is the light of God overcomes darkness. Now, how they came to that in the Hebrew tradition, a couple of thousand years ago, Israel had been overrun by their enemies. And remember, anytime we read in the Bible about Israel getting overrun by her enemies, we will see some ungodly thing they did, some disobedience they were practicing, and that got them out from His blessings and protection and got them conquered by their enemies. Well, they were defeated by, well, particularly by the Greeks at this time, and they were trying to get them to leave the worship of their God. They were trying to get them to abandon their traditions and their basically their lifestyle practices and submit to what they were doing as Greeks. And they were all about that. And there was a small band of Jewish, hardly you could call them soldiers. They were just some Jewish folks who said, we're tired of being under this ungodly government. Let's do something about it. They raised up a little army. They were outgunned. They were outnumbered. They were out everything except they had God on their side. Amen. And they went after the Greeks and they drove them out of Israel. So the Greeks are driven out. Now they're going to rebuild the temple. I thought it had been leveled to the ground. It had not been, but it had certainly been ransacked. They were worshiping idols in there and a bunch of ungodly stuff going on. But anyway, they went to rebuild and to set things back in order. And now in the temple, the only light that you could use in there had to be candles and lamps lit or fueled by sanctified holy oil. And if you ever read that Old Testament, God's got a procedure for everything. It's quite elaborate. Well, it took days to purify oil. They looked at their little lamp situation. They knew they had about enough for one day, maybe. Well, they lit the oil and they say, God, could you send us some, could you do something supernatural so we'll have some light to rebuild this temple? Well, the light that should have lasted maybe one day ended up lasting for 8 days technically, and that gave them enough light to do their work and also to start processing and purifying more oil. So for thousands of years, they celebrate Hanukkah as, and there's incredible liberty in the holiday itself among Jewish people, but it boils down to one thing. God sends His light to help us from the darkness we were under into relationship or into His will. Now, the message of Jesus Christ at Christmas, and again, I'm kind of simplifying things, but I want you to see it's basically the same message, the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as the light of the world, has come to the darkness of the world. No accident, December is the darkest month of the year. The shortest day of the year is in this month. And in this month, God has us celebrating Hanukkah, message of light. The light of God comes to bring you out of darkness. Also has us celebrating, I think most of us know Jesus in reality was not born in December. Probably most scholars slash theologians would agree he was probably born at Feast of Tabernacles. Because for 1,000 years before he was born, Feast of Tabernacles, the Jewish people are in tents in their backyard looking up at heaven saying, Messiah, come, let this be the day. Hey, Lord, I'm out in my backyard. I got out of my nice house and I got out of my environment. And I'm looking up to heaven saying, Messiah, come, Messiah, come. Gee, that was a Jewish tradition for thousands of years before Jesus. Many would have concluded he was probably born then. But at any rate, why does God have Hanukkah and Christmas in the dark month? I believe he wanted the two right next to each other. And I believe, I'm getting Holy Ghost now. I believe he wanted us to start December with 10 days, 9 technically, starts evening tonight, ends on evening of the 10th. He wants us to spend 10 days thinking about one thing. This is the season that God has ordained that the light of Christ should shine brightest in this world. And just like God sent oil, or miraculously did something with their oil so they could have light. Oh, and here's another tip for Bible study. Anytime you read in the scripture anything that has to do with the temple being restored, you probably know where I'm going with this. Point at your neighbor and say, you are the temple of God. You are. Now you're prophesying. You are. You are the temple of God. Jesus went to the cross so we could be made holy. Well, why did he want us holy? So he could come and live inside of us. That's why he wanted us holy. Now that he lives inside of us, we are the temple of God. Anything we read about God sending his light to restore the temple, you got to know this. God will send his light to help you with your relationship with him. Even if you've fallen into gross darkness, even if you've fallen into some horrible nighttime of discouragement or despair or sin or whatever it is, he'll send his light to help you back into relationship with him. That's the story of God. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of Hanukkah. God really wants us to spend some days getting our soul positioned. Excuse me while I get excited. Thanks for pointing that out. I almost forgot. I do have the story of why I'm walking funny. Maybe I'm not walking so funny. Maybe I'll go ahead and get healed while I'm up here. That story fits into one of my points. We'll get there. Thanks for pointing that out. Almost forgot. Anyway, Ephesians 5, 8 through about 14 is our foundation text for what God wants us to be ready for this Christmas. Ephesians 5, 8. You were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Let me do it that way. The first revelation, I'll put it that way, that God wants us to see. He doesn't say you can get God's light. He says you are God's light. You are God's light. All right? And kind of where I want our hearts and our souls to go with this, if we ask God, this is the time for Him to send light into darkness. If we don't know by the Spirit of God that when we walk out of the door of this church and we go back to work and we go to the grocery store and we go to whatever we got to go to, if we don't know that we are the light of God, our faith may not be where it needs to be to know that God will use us to bring His light into dark places. Anywhere I go, anywhere my foot steps, I am the light of Christ, and I am bringing light into that place where I go. And unless, well, let's look at Jesus' words, Matthew 5 and 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. I declare that over you in faith. The light that you are in God and in Christ cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel or a basket on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I said the goal for this Christmas is let's quit hiding the light that we are, because we are. Let's believe God. When we worship God, we ought to praise Him and thank Him that He made us His light in this earth. And we ought to start expecting. So the goal, don't hide who you are in Christ. Let it shine. Amen. And let's keep this moving. We are the light of Christ. Now, verse 9 says, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Some of the more modern translations say, for the fruit of the light is in all. Now, one's not a mistranslation, but the depending on what the translator wanted to focus on, that you could have used the word Spirit or the word light, because you're referring to that light which is God. You are referring to that light which is the Holy Spirit. And again, just depending on the translation, I wanted you to be aware of them both, because if you are the light of God, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and that means goodness, righteousness, and truth live inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And because I'm trying to send you out of this place today as the light of God in the world, and that's the attitude that needs to carry us through the Christmas season. I am the light of God. Wherever I go, I'm going to be looking for that light to illuminate the place where I am. So I'll be paying attention for what God would have me to do in the presence of that light. Okay? So here's what living your life as the light of God looks like. Goodness, doing good works in the world. Jesus said the same thing. You are the light of God. Let your light shine. How do you do that? By doing good works out there in dark places. And you do them in such a way that people will glorify God. You know the reason people think, well, I don't need that Jesus. I'm a good person. I do good things all the time. We feel like good works are enough to get us to heaven, though the Scripture tells us we're not saved by good works. But the same Scripture tells us, but we are created in Christ Jesus by God for good works. I will never feel better about myself than when I'm doing good works, because God created me and designed me for that purpose. Now, I don't want to start getting so silly about it. I think that's going to get me into heaven. No, He says it's what Christ did on the cross. I could be committed to good works, and I should be. That's the way the Lord says, I let my light shine out there in the darkness. But on judgment day, and you all know the scenario, God says, Andrew, why should I let you into heaven? I could say, 1978, Lord, Whittier, California, crawled out in the backyard to die. And I pleaded with you, and I said, if you'll forgive me of my rotten life, Jesus, I'll make you the Lord. I didn't even know the words to use. I said, I cleaned it up a little bit because, you get some experience. But I said, Lord, if you can forgive me of my rotten life, I'll follow you. I don't know what it means to be a Christian, but I'll be one. I'll follow. And I knew he forgave me. And I felt like, well, he did his part. I sure ought to do mine. Been serving him ever since. So I got saved. And on Judgment Day, yeah, I could show him my life since 1978. I've done a lot more good works than I ever did before. But if he says, Andrew, why am I letting you in here? I said, I trusted what he did for me on the cross. I said, Lord, I believe in it. I'm asking you to apply that forgiveness to my life. I need forgiveness. And if you'll forgive me, Jesus, I'm making you the Lord of my life. And that's the salvation prayer. Well, if you haven't prayed it, let's pray it. Let's get you on that. Let's get you moving in the steps of God. So doing good works out there in the world, that should be what our life's all about. All right? Number two, righteousness. And these are sure going to overlap. If you're living your life as light in the world, you're going to be living according to God's word, according to God's ways, and according to God's will. And I'm putting you on the, I know I say this every week, I'm trying to give you the short version of this stuff. I will elaborate a little more. And by the way, 10 days for this celebration of light. So that means next week in the message, I'm going to remind you of what it looks like, what we learned today about being light out there in the world. And I'm going to encourage you in the Lord to start doing these things. And I will talk some more about it next week as a reminder. God wants us to take 10 days to get, well, I don't to get our heads screwed on straight with respect to His word, with respect to His will, with respect to the calling that is on our lives. He's given us 10 days to think about this, pray about this, get yourself psyched up in Christ to go be the light of God in the world. All right? So number two, living your life in righteousness, that's in you. The fruit of the Spirit is righteousness. And in what does it look like, technically speaking? We're living according to God's word, according to His ways, according to His will. And I'm not talking about you getting religiously fanatic about it, but I tell you what, you know, the pendulum can swing both ways. We get so religious that we get goofy and we think serving God is all about funny looking hairdos and clothes and neckties and shoes and all of that stuff. And please, if in your service to God, you feel God has, oh gosh, I didn't know I was going to say this. If you have instruction from the Holy Spirit about how you should dress, you better dress that way. That's what living in righteousness according to His God, to His word looks like, according to His will and His ways. He does say women should dress modest. And I realize that's a broad spectrum. I'm just saying, have a relationship with God. That with, please get this, with respect to the darkness that's in the world, the darkness don't care. And the motives for what they do and the way they dress and the way they act, their motives are not God-centered necessarily. There's some good people out there, but you get what I'm saying. We as believers who are called to be light in the darkness, we shouldn't look just the same as everybody else. And our dress and our clothing will be part of it, but if you try to go to your appearance without a relationship that follows the Holy Spirit, He'll have you dressing goofy, and He'll have you acting goofy, and He'll have you judging everybody that doesn't dress just the way you do. Because by golly, I got this figured out. Well, what you better figure out is let the Holy Spirit tell you how to dress careful. Well, it's hard not to get ahead of yourself, Andrew, but let me slow down a little bit. Living your life according to God's word, ways, and wills. How am I going to look? How am I going to act? How am I going to speak out there in the dark world? And the truth, gee, in time God refers us to the truth. Jesus is the truth. But what does that look like scripturally? Jesus says, I'm the word. Jesus is the word made flesh. And anytime God bumps us in the direction of His truth, we ought to be knowing and using His word for life. That means everything that comes up in life, I got a scripture for how to handle it. I'm believing God for a healing miracle. If I stop you in the parking lot, how's it going for your healing miracle? You better be able to tell me what scripture, oh, please get this. You better know what scripture the Lord gave you to stand on for that healing miracle. And hey, we all got by His stripes, I am healed. That's a great one to stand on. But why don't you meditate on that? Why don't you worship God with that until you hear the Holy Spirit say to you, Bob, the reason you're healed is because I forgave your sins. You stop working so hard for that healing, and you just enjoy the fact that Jesus took stripes on his back to purchase your healing, because of the same faith you used to get born again is the same faith I want you to use for your healing. Or Evelyn, all right. Are you with me, any of us? So if we're staying up all night, by his stripes I am healed. And he's saying, until you receive forgiveness for that crime you committed, you're stopping your healing. Boy, if he's trying to tell you that, you need to hear him say that. So all of this stuff to say, gosh, we have the word, use it. But use it to hear from the Holy Spirit. And know that the goal of anything I'll ever say to you in this church, the goal of anything I believe the Holy Spirit will ever say to us, is to help us be better hooked up with him. And to have a better, more communicating relationship with God through the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. I'll always try to bump you in the right direction, but to me there's only one direction. Let me get you over there listening for God carefully, because when you hear him say it, what comes with you hearing from God? The power to do or to receive what he's talking to you about. All right, better move on. Oh, this is a good one. Verse 10 says, finding out what is, and this is all about us living as light in the world, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Kind of connects with the last one. How to act, how to speak in dark situations. That's anywhere. Gee, Sunday morning in church, well, this should be a pretty light situation in here. We're followers of Christ. We worship God. Okay, you step out this door, you're going to be in darkness. But you are the light of God. And if you're going to, well, let's go back to point number one. If we are the light, really all we want to do is quit blocking it out. Quit hindering it from flowing. Quit putting it under a basket. That light wants to shine. According to the word, your faith declaration, that light shines from me. Frankie, you might be pulling somebody over to give them a speeding ticket, but the light of Christ will be shining even as you do it. You're helping a kid, showing how to pin somebody in 2 seconds on the wrestling mat. We can't help it if it's your daughter quite often, because she knows how to pin them in 2 seconds. But whether you're teaching a kid how to do so, the light of God shines in you. All we want to make sure is that we don't quench it. And then when we start seeing it, we'll start seeing the fruit of it. We're going to ask God to show us what to do when we see the fruit of the light that we are. Anyway, we're going to pray about how to act, how to speak in dark situations. Somebody needs to hear this. Pray about every relationship that you are in. Because wherever you end up in a relationship, it better be somebody who's going to seek the light of Christ with you, and somebody who's going to inspire you and help you and encourage you in your walk with God. They should be a light for you. You should be a light for them. And how you? There's mercy and there's forgiveness and all of that. But from before you were born, God had a person in mind for you. Husband, wife, whatever. God has a person in mind. And we like to tell young people, more important than figuring out anything about who you're to marry, you figure out how to hear the voice of God. You figure out how to hear the voice of God. And you make sure you hear God tell you, that's the one for you. That's the one I've chosen for you. Does that mean it's going to be perfect? No, but it means you're going to be light for each other. You're going to be encouragement for each other to keep moving ahead in the things of God. Amen. So anyway, how to be the light? Ask God to show you how to be the light you are. I just stumbled across this one while I was putting this thing together. I thought, well, maybe it'll help. 4 signs of people-pleasing. Insecurity about everything you say or do. Well, I don't know if they're going to like that or not. How about if you know God likes it? Now, still be careful. We're asking you to pray about this, hear from God. Number 2, trying to keep up with culture's changing expectations and opinions about everything. Culture. The world says, here's what will make you happy. God says, I can tell you what will make you happy. The word says, oh, here, or the world says, here's what you need to do to have a good retirement. God's clear on what you need to do to have a good retirement. And if you're trying too hard to keep up with culture's expectations and opinions, you're probably not looking for the will and the word of God. You want to be a light in a dark place, seek to please God, not people. Number 3, This is a tough one. Disinterest in finding out what pleases the Lord. That should matter to us very much. And you know what? What God's going to tell me I can or cannot do will probably be very different for what you can or cannot do. Now, the safest thing for determining what you can or cannot do, I should ask my wife, and because I don't know if she's ever been wrong. No, that was one. In 37 years or whatever, 38 years, one time we squared off over something and I was right. I can't remember what it was exactly, but you guys know. But that's because she's my light in the Lord. And quite often when I can't, I'm going to get to my story about me missing it. But at any rate, so you need some prayer. You need to make an effort to find out what it is that pleases God. You can read His Bible and find out what pleases Him. That's the safest place. But then the Holy Spirit will also customize those instructions for you, because the Bible says whatever is not done of faith is sin. That's kind of scary, except here's what takes the scary completely out of it. What is faith? I heard God told me to do that. That's why I'm doing it. That's the reality of what faith should be. God told me to pray for that person. That's why I'm praying for them. God told me not to go there. That's why I'm not going there. That's what faith is. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Start in your Bible, but know that you want to hear God say something to you about that choice that's in front of you. And when you ask God to show you based on His Word, and then you hear His voice saying, then that's faith. That's the birth of faith. All right, so we always want to be, go back to my point again, whatever is not of faith is sin. That means you can be doing something that doesn't look so bad, and God is saying, for God's sake, I'm not cussing in church, for God's sake, don't do that. It will lead to death for you. You say, well, it's not like I'm robbing the 7-Eleven or anything. Yeah, but God is saying, don't go out today. There's a car that the devil's planning to run over you with. I would like you to stay home and read a book so I could keep you off of the street, so I can keep you alive. That's how God's brain works, because He sits in that position to know every second of our life every day. So we want to hear that. Finally, fear of speaking up for God's truth. We want to be careful with that one. In fact, let me get to this next slide. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. If I'm walking around being the light of God, the light that I am should expose works of darkness. It's just the nature of light. Jesus said, darkness does not dispel the light. Light dispels the darkness. Let me say it again. If I'm walking around as the light of God in a dark place, just my presence, just that light, should, in fact, expose darkness. Another translation says, Ephesians 5:11, have no relationship with evildoers. Now, notice what I said. Though darkness can be exposed by your words, there will be times when God wants you to speak to your neighbor, to your friend, to that person that you work with. I just got the Holy Ghost on this one. There's going to be times when He will say, I want you to say something in the name of standing up for God's truth and for God's light. And you better hear from the Holy Spirit on that. And be careful. Because unless, let's go to the second part of this. As the light that you are, okay, if you're living as the light that you are, your good works, righteousness, and truth, we saw it up above, the life that you're living will do the exposing by the Spirit. I don't need, and I sure don't ever want to see you marching down some street with a picket sign that tells people, straighten up or you're going to hell. You don't have the right to do that. You don't have the right to do that. You earn the right to say that to somebody, and you earn the right by loving them. You earn the right for that by making a sacrificial kind of gift of love that Jesus Christ made for us. He went to the cross and died, not because we made some brilliant choice to make Him Lord. He went to the cross and died when we were in our darkest place, when we were at our worst. He went to the cross and died. He said, I'm going to take the punishment you deserve. I'm going to go to hell because you deserve it, and I want to prevent that for you. And if you ever can see that I went to the cross out of love for you, if you can ever see that that was an act of love to help you get to God if you ever want God, and when we see that, gee, when I saw that, I came running to the cross. Gee, I met somebody loved me that much. That is what a wretch I was. I once was lost, but now I'm found. God saved a wretch like me. Good song, Lord. That was me. Blind, stupid, ungodly. And the light came on that if I would ask for forgiveness through the cross, he'd hand it to me. And I just need to receive it. Well, of course I wanted to serve him after that. It's like, gee, if you love me that much, why wouldn't I want to hook up with you? So get this in the right perspective. Though darkness can be exposed by our words, the way God wants to expose darkness by the Spirit, you are living that goodness. You're doing good works in dark places. You're living according to God's word. You stand up for God's truth. And everybody that knows you stand up for God's truth. They don't have to ask you what you believe because they know you're going to tell them, if the Bible says it, that settles it. That's what I believe. Now, if somebody wants to have a discussion, well, what about this and what about that? You have that discussion and you have it in love. But it's always going to come down to one thing. He went to the cross to forgive you of your sins. That's an act of love. And if you want to receive that mercy and that grace, ask him to forgive you. And if you want to come into relationship with God, just declare out of your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And let the light that shines from you before you open your mouth. In other words, you're living right. You're being kind. You're loving people. Anytime anybody asks you for help, you help them. And some of us, if they ask us for money, we can afford to give it to them. Be careful. Follow the Holy Spirit. There are people who will rob you blind. I like what Graham Cook, love that guy. He said, I have a ministry of letting people take advantage of me. Oh, you want? Sure, here. I'll give you even more than you're asking for. I'll get a blessing from that. I want my... Gee, what stories he's got to tell. Are you with me? We want to be a light in the darkness. We're going to live the right life in front of those dark places. We're going to live the right life in those dark places. That presence of that light will expose darkness. Here's what I said. If we're living right, our life will expose the darkness by the Spirit. You stay ready to help. Did you get that? If you're shooting your mouth off, Andrew, when you're not supposed to, you'll drive people away. Rightly so. And if I'm just loving them and somebody says, I can see by the life you're living that you're a Christian person. I got stories on that. I can see you're a follower of Christ. I have a situation. Can you please pray? One I'm thinking of, please pray for my daughter. She almost died. The guy called me up, a good person who followed God. He said, can you pray for my daughter? Got the whole town praying. She's just fine. That was God. Not because I beat him up with some turn or burn message. And they needed to turn, but they were my good friends. But I didn't beat them up about that. I just loved them right where they were at. And they saw that, and they said, we know you got a connection with God. Can you please pray? We have an emergency. That's the way this is supposed to work. Well, let me get over. I think I got it. Amen. Have I got it? Well, don't holler at me. What? Just kidding. I was going to say, I'll give myself 4 more minutes to tell this funny story. Because it really fits. If we don't want to get in the way of the light, here's a story. Okay. Now, I'm a by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. Now, you know, my motorcycle wrecks and all this kind of stuff. I've got a back situation where if I'm not careful, I could be in trouble. Well, I haven't been to a chiropractor in 6 or 8 months, and I just figured, well, I'm probably healed. I'm good. Well, the snow came down, and I told wifey, just let me shovel that snow for you. He don't put his back support on or anything like that. And some little voice was saying, you don't shovel snow without that. But it's like, okay. Point number one of missing the Holy Spirit. And then we needed to run the snow plow on Friday or Thursday or whatever it was. And I just needed to pour some fluid in the thing there. And I didn't have a funnel to do it with, so I'm just dripping it in there. It's like, well, I mean, other than I was in a position holding that, it's a gallon of oil, and this pain is shooting through my back like a knife. And I'm going, well, it'll just take a minute. About 20 or 30 minutes later, it's like, ah. And after that, I was crawling. I was not standing upright. I was crawling. And it's like, who are you going to get mad at about that? Oh, God, why did you let this happen? It's like, hey, Andrew. Warning lights, yeah. Well, Tony, my mechanic, he gets in my car one day. He says, Andrew, are you aware that every single check engine light and warning light that is possible is on in your car? That's all. There's only three or four, but they're all on. And my response to that was, yeah, well, just keep praying for me. That's not how deadly, okay? And I said, well, somebody told me that, you know, a check engine light comes on when you need a tune-up. Well, I never get tune-ups, so I just ignore him. He goes, but yeah, but there's four of them on. They can't all mean tune-up. Oh, okay, but I ignore warning lights. So as me and Tony were talking about my back going out, I had to say, well, the idiot light came on. And as I do, I ignored it. Sad to say. But I mean, I'm feeling pretty good right now, and even this morning. So I'll give God the glory for that. Give God the glory for that. But here's where it fits into my sermon. Listen to this. This is our ending verse for today. He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. This is God's wake-up call. Do this now. He says, when you start walking as children of light, Christ will give you light. It means you take a couple of steps in the right direction with this message. The light of Christ will start lighting your path, and you will see more clearly. You'll hear from God more clearly. You will go into a dark situation. You will see the light that you are bring light. And if you'll pray and ask God, He will show you what to say or what to do. Be just give somebody a hug. Just say hello. Just help somebody put their groceries in their car out in the parking lot. Somebody behind you stressed out about how long the line is. Get out of the way and give them your place. Well, that's if you're going to let the light that is in you shine, and don't ignore the idiot light when it comes on. God will have things for you to do in any situation, any day of the week, where somebody, please get this, somebody will respond to the light that is in you. And you won't have to hand them a pamphlet, and you won't have to say, you know what I'm saying? They will respond to the good person or the good deed that you're doing. They'll respond to that. And if you'll ask the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say, He will. And your relationship with the Lord will allow you to be the light that you are. And you will see the light of Christ come to a whole. This is God's word for us going into. Here, even got me a summary. The message of Christmas. Jesus, the light of the world, has come to lead us from darkness to light. This Christmas, set goals, work a plan. Say yes to what I'm preaching to you today. Say, I'm going to go out in the world. I'm going to be the light that I am. Be the light of the Lord that you are. Expect that your good works and your godly life and your knowledge of God's word, expect that will produce light wherever you go. Start watching for it. Just start watching for it. I promise you that every day God leads you past situations that He wants to use you to be the light of Christ. He wants you. And if you just would hear that Holy Spirit, remember, if God says do this or do that, He anoints you with power to do it with. You can count on that. That's what grace is. All right, start expecting that your good works will produce light wherever you go. Watch for it. Listen for words and promptings from the Holy Spirit for situations you encounter. Begin this Christmas a new life in Christ, being God's light in this dark world. That's not just a Christmas message. That's 24/7. 365 days a year. All right, so let's pray. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters, that they are light in the Lord. I thank you, Lord, you haven't asked us to be something that we're not. You just asked us to be what we are and who we are in Christ. And He died to empower us to be who we are and what we are in Him. So, Father, I declare over this a beautiful bunch of believers, Lord, that your purposes and your will for our life will come to pass. We will see and experience the anointing of God upon us to be light in this dark world. And we will, in fact, we will, in fact, be the light of God this Christmas season. And we'll see the fruit of it, Lord. We'll see the fruit of it. Wow. Kent, would you come on up here and play something on the piano there? Jerry, if you want to join him with that. We're going to take a few minutes now in prayer. And what I actually just got from the Holy Spirit, a witness there. And I just got from the Spirit. Well, let me